You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. As you're seated, open your Bible at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We have been talking about understanding the faith of Abraham. Now, for time's sake, I really want to encourage you, if you have missed part one or two, you really do need to get that, because this is such an important subject. And very often what happens is if you get pieces of it, you won't understand the fullness of faith in anything, in any doctrine, any part of the Word of God. And sometimes what happens is we hear segments. Like sometimes when we hear something, and that's the problem with today's social media, is that whenever we watch, have you noticed how people's time span for attention has grown very short? It's like if they watch something that's going longer than 2 or 3 minutes, they scroll. And the longer someone wants to sit and watch is 10 minutes. But to get someone to sit down and just sit and listen to everything that has to be taught, that's the way you're going to build doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept. So if you only hear one line and say, but I don't know how that's so, well, you need to have heard these other 3 or 4 scriptures. But how do you know it's impossible for a teacher to go from Genesis to Revelation in every session? So that's why we do these series, so you get all the parts, and it's really, really important to get all the parts and then spend the week meditating on it so that you come back the next week with those parts built into you. Very important, because it constructs and gives us an establishment of understanding what we are learning. So the same way, yeah, I've already done part one and two. They are available on our podcast. It's very important we go back and meditate on it and read through it and listen through it again so that we make sure we have our foundation solid, built on the Word of God, not opinion of man. Someone say amen. Amen. And so having a look at the faith of Abraham, understanding how faith works, Romans chapter 4, verse 13, the promise that Abraham would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, we've already learned that if we are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. So the promises are sure to us. And those promises are sure not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, we've already established from the Word of God that the righteousness of faith speaks. What does it speak? It's the words in my heart and in my mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach. And the spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. And so we understand that in hearing from the word, we receive the faith of God. That faith, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you will always pick up very quickly where we stand. I'll analyze my speech, what's coming out of my mouth, how I'm speaking will determine the level of faith to which I've been receiving. Because the level of faith that we receive affects our hearts, where we stand with God, and that in turn affects how we speak. And what do we speak? What the Word of God says. We're always going to line up our mouths with God. Someone say amen. For if those are of the law of heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, say that's me, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. What did God say? I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls things which do not exist as though they did. Now, something that I covered last week and in our Sunday evening service is that it's very important to read that accurately, because he calls things that do not exist as though they did. He does not call things that do exist as though they don't. Now, if you're hearing that for the first time, you might have missed what I said. Let me say it again. God does not call, he does call things that do not exist as though they do. That's how he would say light be. He addresses light before it even exists, but he speaks as if though it does exist, and what happens, it manifests. But he does not call things that do already exist as if though they don't. Now, if you reflect that into our speech, if we're going to call things the way God calls them, he establishes something, then I need to call it the way he says it. And that's very often where people misunderstand faith, is they will say something, well, praise God, I'm not sick, even though they got symptoms in their body. Symptoms show up, they say, well, I'm not sick. Why would you say that? Well, I believe I'm getting healed. I believe I'm well. Well, hang on. Those two statements contradict each other because the symptoms are there. Are you with me? That's a fact. But truth changes facts. Facts can change. The truth is the living word of God. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes, you have been healed. So that may be something you don't see yet. So calling things that do not exist as though they do, I'm going to say, I believe I am healed, not denying what's there already. I just don't allow what is there to influence my speech. And so that's very important. And I've already taught that in detail. If you missed last Sunday night, you really need to get a hold of that. All right, so verse 18. Verse 17, God calls things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, this is Abraham, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, we ended here last time at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Reading that from the Living Bible, it says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. Abraham never doubted. Everybody say, Abraham never doubted. Now that is a strong statement. Now you recall, if you were here last week, I said, that is really, if I had to ask anybody, how many of you have ever doubted? Can I see your hand? Some people are doubting whether they should put their hand up or not. And that's really, when I first read that from the Living Bible, and of course that's what it means if you go read the original Greek there when it says he never wavered. Well, it's the same concept. And I asked people that I thought were strong in faith, I said, have you ever doubted? And they looked at me like, well, of course, every one of us have. Every one of us who admit, we've all doubted. I said, yeah, it says Abraham never doubted. And if it says he never doubted, then he never did. So how is that possible? How could he get to that place? How many would say, I would like that kind of faith? I would like, if there's a switch I can flick, and now that means I just won't doubt ever again. How many wouldn't mind that? Well, there's not really a switch available, but there is a way available. There is something that we can apply to get to this place, because evidently it must be possible, because it was accounted to him as righteousness. How many of you have been made the righteousness of God? Therefore, you have within you the capacity to apply this. Now, family of God, you've got to get a hold of this. This isn't just a doctrine I'm teaching. I'm beyond debating this, because you've got to understand this is critical to your life. Let me say that again. This is critical to your life. This is not something that we just have to learn so we can pass an exam. This is something the just shall live by faith. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I've set before you life and death. Would you say those are two serious things? The just shall. The only way you're going to live is with life. I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, so whose choice is it? Is it God's choice? No, he says, I've given you access to life, but you need to choose that life. I said, you need to choose that life. Now notice, he says, why? That both you and your descendants may live. This doesn't just affect you today. Just me sitting in church, me hearing the word, is just about my life and nobody else. No, this affects my children. It affects my grandchildren. And even when I leave the planet, it's going to affect every child from there on, should the Lord tarry. This says this affects way more than just whether I agree with this or not. This is my life. It's my family's life. It affects everybody around me. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, cling to him. He is your life and the length of your days. So if he says, I lay before you life and death, now choose life. He gives you a strong suggestion which one you should choose. Choose life. How do you make that choice? How do you make the choice? Well, Proverbs 18 verse 20 tells us, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. So it's not just the physical food you eat, it's what comes out of your mouth, what you speak. And the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Listen to this. Death and life are in the power of, what does your Bible say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who eat, love it, will eat its fruit. So it's very important to understand this, is that God lays before us life and death. We choose life. So how do I choose it? It begins with what you say. It begins with what you say. And what are you saying? We are saying what's in our heart in abundance. What's in our heart in abundance? That which we have heard. What do we want to come out of our mouth? Life. We want words of life. What are the words of life? Well, he says there in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, he is your life. God is your life. And he is the living word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. So when you hear the word of God, you hear life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And then having heard it, having believed, I speak. And speaking those words, I'm now heading in the right direction. Now, the key point I want to make here is this is whether you live or die. I understand this. I don't have time to get into the testimony of so many times in our lives. And the one that we had most recent was when Janine was facing death, having suffered from COVID-19. Now, many of you know the testimony, but family of God, I can tell you one thing that brought her out was us standing in agreement with God's word, and nothing else came out of my mouth except what he said. Are you with me? And it's that word that he gave us that we were able to see the victory. Give Jesus praise for that. Now, have a look at Matthew 21, verse 20. Jesus had just spoken to a fig tree and told it, no one eat fruit from you ever again. Get a hold of that. Jesus didn't talk about the tree. He didn't tell the disciples that tree will never produce again. He looked at a tree and he spoke to it. How many understand creation does hear? Otherwise, why would Jesus speak to it? Creation is governed by words, the word of God. All things are upheld by the word of his power. And the disciples saw it and they marveled and said, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, circle the word and. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, family of God, how many realize that this is not just some statement that Jesus made that from now on, whatever you want, because whatever means whatever. Isn't that right? So that means we can just go ahead and ask for whatever we want. You know, whatever you want, just go ahead and ask for it. But how many understand, he said, when you pray. When you pray. So when you pray means you're going to be speaking to God. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if I don't have the basis of faith when I speak to God, then that technically is not a prayer. How many know you can speak and not be praying? If I'm praying to God, it's going to have to be on the foundation of faith for Him to hear that prayer. So when we pray, I want to make sure that I am praying by faith. Well, how do you pray by faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the only way I can speak to God in faith is based on something He has already said to me from the Word of God. So that, you understand, is like if I come along and say, if someone says to me, Pastor Allen, can you please stand in faith for me? You see Mary over there? I believe she's my wife. And I said, oh, really? How long you been in this church? Oh, you know, many, many years. So you do know Mary is married. Yes, but I want her for my wife. How many of you know that's not going to happen? Because for you to have what you want means Mary's going to have to get divorced. And that means there's a whole bunch of, and God hates divorce. And He doesn't want anybody separated. Isn't that right? No, how many understand that is not, there's no scripture you can find to back that up. So that is not what He's talking about. He says, whatever you pray, that pray has to be based on faith. This is not just some like heavenly slot machine, pull the handle and hope something pops out. No, this is going to the Word of God. Whenever you pray, whatever you pray for and ask, believe that you receive and you will have it. But notice He says here, in order to do that, once you get to this place of understanding this faith, He says, if you want to pray in a way, you need to believe so that you receive. But now have a look again at verse 22. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. If you have faith and do not doubt. So it is possible. Now listen to the statement. If you have faith, how do you have faith? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So that means whoever has heard the Word, let me put it to you this way. If I took a bucket of water and threw it over someone, what are they? Does it matter if they believe or not? So if I throw water on somebody, they're a believer or they don't believe, I don't believe water makes wet. Well, watch this. You're now wet. Why? Because you got water on you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by. That means every word spoken from a spirit-filled believer is filled with faith. So your most hardened atheist, when he hears that word, has received the faith that that word carries. If you've heard the word, you have faith. Well, I just don't feel it. Well, what does faith feel like? How will you know when you're in faith? One day you wake up, there it is. Now I have faith. What is that? Faith is not a feeling. Now notice, having heard the word, you have faith. Say that. Having heard the word of God, I have faith. Now, you have faith and do not doubt. So it's possible to have faith and still doubt. Can you see that? It's not like doubt is the opposite of faith. That's where the enemy hooks people. The fact that they doubted, he says to them, see there? You don't have faith. No, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Say that. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. So Jesus says, if you have faith, there it is, you have faith, and do not doubt, then you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but say to this mountain. Now, how many understand Jesus is not advocating us going into the landscaping business? Now, this is not just speaking in a general sense of saying to this particular mountain, because notice he did use the word you. He's not just talking about himself. He's saying you. Say me. So we understand that if Jesus wanted that mountain removed, he could do that. But how many understand that we face a lot of situations in our lives that we would call mountains? Things that seem immovable, things that seem impossible, that doctors may say, that's not even possible. Lawyers may say, there's no way out of this. Your banker may say, you're done. Are you with me? Those may seem like mountains. But Jesus is saying, if you have faith and don't doubt, what things are hindering you in the way that seem to stand and block where you need to be, you can speak to that situation and it will be moved. And notice he says there, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, that means you've got the faith and you've removed the doubt. You've overcome the doubt. What will happen is you will have that prayer answered. Hallelujah. Now, it's important to understand because sometimes we look at people and say, wow, I wish I had faith like them. Now, listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is from the King James Version. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say, the measure of faith. What is that? Well, how many of you know the Bible says, for by grace you saved, how? By faith. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. So when we got saved, we realized it had nothing to do with us. God gave us the word and the faith we needed to be saved, he imparted through the word of God. And every single human that's ever given their life to Jesus got that same measure of faith. The moment you receive the word, you receive the same faith. As I speak now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The person in the front row is getting exactly the same faith through this word as the person in the back row. It's not like it filters out as it gets towards the back. Everybody, right now, under the sound of my voice, got the same level of faith. The moment I read that word from the scriptures, the same faith was deposited into each one's heart. So then how come it is that we look at some people and we say, wow, what a great man of faith. Now, this scripture warns us because if people keep saying that to us, they could say, well, yeah, no, I'm really strong in faith. He says, no, remember to stay sober. It's got absolutely nothing to do with you. The fact that I prayed, sometimes we pray for something and then something happens. Someone says, I was the one that prayed. So? Anybody could have prayed, and God's the one who answers. God has spoken through a donkey. You want to take glory for being a donkey? That's exactly what. Who am I but a glove on God's hand? I'm a paintbrush in the hand of the Master. And so it's His word, it's His power, it's His glory, it's His anointing, and it's His faith that comes through His word. So where do I stand up and say, well, I'm a great man of faith? No, no. What's the difference? The difference is the same faith comes to each and every person. It's how we apply that faith. It's how we apply that faith. Because you can hear the word of God. Any one of us can hear the word of God. And if we don't do something with it, we'll be in exactly the same position. Then before we receive it, the one that hears that Jesus died for them, rose from the dead, he's alive today. And if you believe that, confess it with your mouth, and they don't say anything, they will stay unsaved. Even though they have the word of salvation. And that works in every other area of our lives as well. Okay. So, how do we deal with this doubt? James chapter 1, verse 2. It's important to understand how doubt can get in the way of what we need to receive. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I didn't hear any amens there. Are we going to rejoice over all scripture? The scripture says, count it all joy. Now, does it say be happy? No, happy is a result of circumstances. But count it all joy. That means the joy is there, but you have to make a decision to activate it. Count it as joy. It doesn't happen automatically. Have you noticed that? When problems come our ways, challenges, temptations, tests, trials, things go wrong in our lives, our first response doesn't seem to be, yes, hallelujah. But now the word says, count it all joy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. How many of you want to be more patient? Is this a hallelujah meeting? Say, I want to be more patient. There's some tests coming. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that's mature, complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That means God's not going to tease you about that. He's not going to mock you. He's not going to say, why would you ask for something like that? He says, if you ask God, he'll give it to you generously. And what'll happen? It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now the context here is that we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for wisdom. But this principle doesn't only apply to wisdom, because if you keep reading, he says, let not that man suppose he receive anything from the Lord. So this principle works through into everything. Now, obviously, if I'm standing in faith for something, no matter what it is, if it's for your healing, if you need a financial rescue, a miracle, if you need a miracle in your marriage, raising children, in your workplace, how do you know God's going to do something? He says, if you ask and pray, he'll answer you. But if we keep doing stupid things, we can short circuit what God's doing. How do you know? I can believe God for a healthy body, But if I don't exercise right and I don't eat right, no matter how much I pray, if I just keep eating wrong and never putting this body to work, it's going to be constantly plagued by disease no matter how much I stand in faith. So there's more to faith than just saying to God, I believe your word, and now I expect it just to happen. There's faith without works. So what works do I need to apply? What is it that I need to activate in my life? Well, that's going to take wisdom. I'm going to need to know if I'm believing God to be rescued financially, I need to make an adjustment to my finances, because so far what I've done got me in the mess. So how do I change that? God can give me R1 million and I can blow it by next week if I keep doing what I've always done. So how do I change that? I'm going to need wisdom. So what word is it that I need? What is it that I need from the word of God? So I can go to God and say, Father, this is my situation. This is what I need a solution for. Now I know there's an answer for it in the Bible. Now there's 66 books with how many scriptures, and I need the word that's going to change this. What is happening? I'm going to God and saying, give me a specific instruction. And I trust for that wisdom. And God will never say, well, you should know what my Bible says. No, that's what it means without reproach. Father, I need an answer here. I've told you many times before, I've used the example where I've stood in faith for my healing. And no matter how many healing scriptures I quoted, nothing seemed to be happening. And so instead of saying, this doesn't work, I went to God and say, you never miss it. There has to be an issue here. What have I missed? See, when we're willing to take that responsibility and not keep blaming God, well, you never know what God's going to do. No, He's already told me what He's going to do. So what is it that I am missing in this situation? And in praying, He highlighted a scripture. And that scripture, if I told you what it is now, people would say, well, that's got nothing to do with healing. Yeah, but in my life, it was an adjustment I need to make. And the moment I heard that and made that adjustment, within 24 hours, my healing manifested. Why? Because all the other scriptures were already down there. But I needed a particular state of wisdom. And in that asking God, He gave it to me. Now, what is a double-minded man? Double-minded, the key is in the word double. That means there's two minds. How's it possible to have two minds? Well, there's the one mind that wants to believe the word of God. But then there's this other mind that says, well, I'm not sure. You know, God says, but I'm looking at my situation. So when I look at my situation, I may say, well, praise God, by Jesus' stripes I've been healed. Yeah, but this pain is still here. I'm sick, and every time the winter comes, the flu comes, I'm the first one to get it. How come everybody else? You know, I'm always the one that first gets. Hang on. By Jesus' stripes, I've been healed. I believe I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, but what's this pain? And, you know, someone says, you're looking really bad. Yeah, no, I can't handle this anymore, man. I'm always sick, and I don't. Are you with me? What's happening? You this way, and then that way, and this way, and that way, and this way, and that way. Now, how many understand there's no stability there? There's no stability. So it's like, how many of you understand that when we were first saved, before we were saved, we were in this river, and this river was running downhill, and how many of you know the whole world is lying under the sway of the wicked one? The whole world thinks negatively, thinks death is cynical and against the word of God. And we were running that way. We would say the same things the world says. Now, all of a sudden, we're born again, and we have to turn and start changing the way we think, start changing the way we speak. And that's like that salmon that's trying to swim up a river. How many of you ever seen that? This is when they go to their breeding grounds, they're swimming uphill. You notice they swim as much as they can, and then they jump to try and make track, and then they swim and they jump and they and it's a lot of work to get up there. But you notice if they said, well, this is just too difficult, and just relax, even just relax, they'll go straight back down that river. So when it comes to applying the word of God, the Bible talks in James about the word being a rudder of a ship. That ship is traveling in a certain direction. Now, you think of a speedboat, and it needs to change direction. It's just a matter of turning that engine and that boat will turn around and go in the different direction. But if you think of an ocean liner that has maximum weight to it, how many of you ever seen these videos where they crash straight through the harbor wall or something? Why doesn't he just stop the boat? Well, no, there's too much momentum there. And in that momentum, your life is going in a certain direction. Now, we want to change that. And so our speech, the tongue, is like a rudder. As you change your speed, that rudder turns. But that anyone that knows anything about a ship, a captain knows if he wants to turn, he doesn't turn when he sees the problem. Are you with me? If he's busy sailing along and next moment there's a little speedboat in front of him, he doesn't go whoop and miss the speedboat. The speedboat's got to get out the way. Because I can turn my rudder, it's going to be a while before we turn. Because what happens is that ship slowly, 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 slowly turns. Now, the problem with the double-minded man is they've turned the rudder and the ship seems to be going in the same direction. And that rudder's doing work. If you were down there where the rudder is, I mean, that thing's bubbling and foaming and, you know, oh, you and me, it's busy working. But if the captain says, well, it doesn't seem to be changing, and maybe if I go in the other direction. So then he turns the rudder the other way and then keeps going, and then, oh, it doesn't seem to be going, so they change the rudder in the other way. And then it doesn't be, okay, go west. Okay, the west is not working. Go east. Oh, east is not working. Go west then. Oh, west is not working. Maybe if we go east. And, you know, that ship's going to keep going the way it's going. Keep going in the same direction. We have to make a decision to change and not be moved by the circumstances. I'm staying with what God. Remember, the Bible says that Abraham was fully convinced if God had promised, what he said is able to work in my life. God is able to do what he said he's going to do. Can I get a bigger amen? So, we have to put aside this double mind. Now, Mark chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 22, Jesus answered, said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, say whoever, say whoever includes me, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his, oh, there's a key. He does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you will receive them and you will have them. Notice, he says, whoever says and does not doubt in his, okay. It's possible to have faith and to have doubt. Yeah, we see James talking about a double-minded man. There are two minds. You can have one mind and have another mind. Which mind are you going to answer? Jesus says, if you don't doubt in your heart, if you believe and do not doubt, where does one believe? In the heart. Where does one doubt? Two places. One is in the heart, one is in the mind. And Jesus clarified and said, if you don't doubt in your heart. It is possible to doubt in your heart. It's possible to have faith in your heart and for your mind to doubt. It's not the mind doubt. It's the heart doubt that affects what you believe. Let me say it again. It's not the doubt in your mind. It's the doubt in the heart. Why would the heart doubt? Because the heart doesn't yet know what to believe. See, doubt is not unbelief. Get a hold of this. The very word doubt means to hesitate, to contend, to differ, to stagger, to waver. To hesitate, to contend, to differ, to stagger, to waver. Unbelief means to separate thoroughly, withdraw from, to oppose. Remember Thomas? When they said Jesus is raised from the dead, what did he say? Unless I put my hands in his holes, my hand in his side, I will not believe. Unbelief is a decision. Doubt is, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's not like I don't want to believe. I'm not sure. I don't know. Unbelief is when you do know and still choose to unhook. You're getting this? So it is possible to have faith in your heart and still doubt in your heart. Have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. So how do I remove the doubts from my head? How do you want to get? Because, I mean, you know you believe, but how do you deal with these doubts? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they? Much better than they. Which of you, by taking thought, everybody say take thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for raiment? Everybody say take thought. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Notice he keeps saying, why do you take thought? Why do you take thought? Why do you take thought? Take thought. And you know it's possible to think and then take. The thought is there. But why do you take thought? Therefore, take no thought. Why do you take thought saying? Why do you take thought thinking? Why do you take thought, how are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Why do you take the thought? So don't take thought. Stop thinking. Stop thinking. Well, how do you take thought? He says you take thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows you need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Notice what he's saying. The thoughts will come. The Gentiles chase these things. You're going to think them. Why? There's an enemy out there constantly trying to tell you God's word doesn't work. And he's going to use your circumstances to prove, so God said, well, what about this? You're going to think that. But the problem is not in the thinking. It's when we take that thought. It's not your thought until you take it. I said, it's not your thought until you take it. And how does Jesus say you take it? By saying. So it's possible to have the thought, Just don't say it. Just don't say it. I'm sure there were days when Abraham woke up when they were still trying to conceive. And he looked over at his wife and he probably thought, Father, father of many nations, I don't know. I've seen God do things, but this one is, how do you understand? He must have thought that. Because he had his whole life knowing his body's dead, knowing his wife's body is dead. That's what was his reality. He must have thought that. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I know how people think because we all admit we've all had thoughts. I'm sure he's had those thoughts. But the thing, the key was he never said it. Every time he got the thought, what did he do? The Bible says he glorified God and he praised God before he ever saw it happen. He knew if God said it, and the spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. Speak what? What I believe. If God said it, that's what I believe. I don't care what my thoughts are thinking. I'm not about to speak it. So doubt is not doubt until it's spoken. And if you don't speak it, Abraham never doubted. You got it? That's the key. See, that waver is saying one thing, saying another. Saying one thing, saying the other. That's the wavering. That's the double-minded man. So you settle the thoughts. And the key is that we don't just not think. See, if I say, don't think about a black dog, just stop it. Stop the thought of the black dog. Ignore the black dog. Don't stop. And don't think it. Take that thought of the black dog and get it out of your mind. Just switch off the thought of the black dog. Now, some people say, if you stop talking about it, maybe I could. That's the key. The enemy never stops. Have you noticed? He never, ever stops trying to tell you, you don't have the faith. You're not like Pastor Allen. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to make it. You don't know. Those thoughts will come. And that's that worry. That's that sitting, meditating on the negative. So how do you combat that? You need to speak. Now, many of us have done this before, but I have to do it again for the sake of those who haven't heard it. I'm going to ask you to count to 10, but you're going to think it. You're going to take thought. And you're going to think. Think 1 to 10 when I say go, all right? Then I'm going to ask you to do something. You must obey instantly. Are you willing to participate? Ready? Count. Shout your name out loud. What happened? Your counting stopped. Now I know some people have done this many times before. They say, well, my counting didn't stop. No, that's because you didn't speak. Isn't that right? See, the only way that you could keep counting is disobey the instruction. The thought will continue. But the moment you speak, God has designed your system. Your spirit man is waiting on the instruction. I lay before you life and death. You choose. You choose. And the spirit man says, so which way are we going? Yeah. It's waiting. And what comes out your mouth, so we've been talking about seek first. First words matter. Because when that word comes up in your thought, and the thought, not the word, the thoughts of the enemy, the thoughts of what could happen, what could go wrong, the way you silence that, Your spirit man has been designed that once you start speaking, it'll listen to what you say. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the heart? So once I speak the word of God, that is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Even though I don't see it, God said it. I'm going to line up with Him and say what He says. And as long as I keep speaking what He says, I'm silencing those thoughts that are trying to distract me away from God's word. I take control of those thoughts. And as long as you hear the word of God coming out of my mouth, as long as I hear the word of God coming out of your mouth, you are not doubting. Your head may try and tell you you are, but just don't take the thought. If you're going to open your mouth, let the next thing be the word of God. Come on, give Jesus praise if you've got a hold of that. Let's stand together. Let's raise your hand to the Lord and say, today I heard the word of God. That word brought faith to my heart. I am a believer, not a doubter. As a hearer of God's word, I'm also a doer. I thank God for the living word. He has given me His will. He has given me His word. And as I believe that word and speak that word establishes faith in my heart. I refuse to doubt. And I do not take any thought of the enemy. And the way I do that is by every time I have a negative thought, I'm going to speak the word of God. I open my mouth and I declare what God has already said. And as I say what God has said, I am strengthened in faith. I do not waver in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.